It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 57 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Carson, we finally got the announcement that we've all been waiting for. I was kind of dying not knowing what was going to be coming out in Wave 11 of X-Wing.
Yeah, it looks like quite an interesting wave it'll be.
I was starting to think it was never going to come, but thankfully it's here now. We've got three new ships announced, all small base ships, and they're bringing a lot of new and interesting stuff to the game, I think. So let's get to it.
So Wave 11 is scheduled to release during the second quarter of 2017, so it's sometime summerish around June.
Yeah, they said late second quarter, which would mean May or June.
And we're getting one small base ship for each faction with a little bleed over.
Yeah, one of them's kind of for two factions.
And there's definitely, as a theme, kind of the opposite of Wave 9, where Wave 9 was all about going back to the primary firing arcs of the game. Wave 11 seems to be the other direction of let's widen those firing arcs or have some 360 turrets.
So the three ships that are coming out in Wave 11 that Fantasy Flight just announced are the Ozatuk gunship, which is a small base rebel ship. They also announced the TIE Aggressor for the Imperial faction, of course, as well as the Skurg H6 bomber, which is a scum ship, but also has one rebel pilot in it, which is pretty interesting. We haven't really seen that before.
Starting at the top, the Ozatuk gunship seems to be a Wookiee-themed craft, which I think was featured in Rebels.
Yeah, I believe it was in one of the very early episodes of the Rebels series, sometime in season one. It might actually have been the first episode, now that I think about it, because I think they rescue some Wookiees in that one. But this ship is kind of the next evolution in Rebel joust ships, right? It's super sturdy.
Of course, started with the generic X-Wing, which got upgraded and replaced by the B-Wing. An 8 hit point, 1 agility was better than 5 hit points behind 2 agility. And then the B-Wing kind of fell off, where even 8 hit points and 1 agility just wasn't enough.
Well, jousting kind of fell out of the game for a while just because there were so many really good arc-dodging ships and a lot of ships that could put out damage so fast that these low pilot skill jousters like your Blue Squadron or Dagger Squadron V-Wings would just get taken off the table before they could shoot.
So now the Ozatuk is kind of the next step forward in the progression. So it comes in at 24 points at a baseline with 3 attack dice, 1 agility dice, 6 hull points, and 3 shields.
I swear, these small base ships are getting tankier and tankier all the time. Ever since like the K-Wing came out, we started seeing 9 hit points coming out on these small bases, which seems kind of crazy to me.
Right, and the gunship also has some unique options that will make it even more durable than its previous comparisons. So it has the focus action and the reinforce action, which if you've played Epic, you'll be familiar with. There's a slight tweak for regular standard gameplay.
This is actually the second time we've seen one of those actions that was once exclusive to the Epic format come into the standard dogfight format. On the Upsilon class shuttle for the Imperials, we had the coordinate action. You could take the coordinate action and then choose a friendly ship at range 1-2, and that ship could take a free action. So this coming from Epic is tweaked, like you said, slightly. So now you have a token that represents your reinforcement, and basically the way the reinforce works is, if you're reinforcing the force side, which is one side of the reinforce token, if you're being attacked and the attacker's inside your firing arc, you get to add an evade result. Or if you choose to use the aft section, which is the opposite side of the reinforce token, if the attacker is outside of your firing arc, you get to add 1 evade result. So in firing arc or out of firing arc, you're adding an evade result.
This would, of course, be a good time to mention that the Ozatuk gunship has a 180-degree firing arc, much like the Trandoshan Slaver.
Though this is the first time we've seen it on a small base ship.
Right, so it's got the dotted line right through the middle. So it clearly identifies the fore and aft sections of the base for where you're reinforcing, so either the front half or the back half. And, of course, has a 180-degree firing arc, which makes it a much better jousting ship as well.
And just looking at all the different things this ship has going for it as a jouster. So when we're talking about jouster, we're talking about ships. You basically want to point this directly at your opponent's ship, fly straight in, and just do a bunch of damage. And this ship has a lot going for it on that front. It's got the 3 attack dice, which is awesome. Jousters are quite a bit less effective when they have 2 attack dice, so they can be reasonably good at putting out damage if you get a lot of them on the board, like a swarm of TIE fighters or a swarm of Z-95s. This ship will do a little bit better on its own with three attack dice. It's got two crew slots, which, along with the new Wookiee Commandos upgrade card, crew card, you get some offensive modification here. The Wookiee Commandos Rebel Only double crew slot card comes in at 1 point and reads, when attacking, you may reroll all your focus results.
Right, so Emperor Palpatine, the original double crew slot card. I hope we see more cards like this where it's a kind of team working. Like we see the team cards in Epic, a way for ships with large crew slots to get more of like a firing team or engineering team kind of effect going. Here, the Wookiee Commandos are acting a lot like a firing team, giving you passive modification on your attack.
Well, and the ship needs that kind of passive modification because one thing it is missing out on compared to, say, a B-Wing is that system slot. Jousting ships with the system slot do well with the fire control system upgrade. So basically, once they're done attacking, they get that free target lock from fire control system, and then they can just, the next turn, continue shooting at that same ship with the modification. Since the Azatec gunship doesn't have that system slot, it needs some way to get some modification in there.
Well, and that reinforce action is really good, and so I'm thinking you're probably going to want to be taking that just about every turn, which means you're not going to have an action for offense. So getting that passively from the Wookiee Commandos seems like a pretty nice deal. And that allows your pilot skill one gunship to come in at just 25 points. You can fit four of these in a list, which sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think that's always kind of the first test for when these new ships come out is how many of the generics can I spam in the most effective way? I don't know if at pilot skill one this is going to be able to outclass lists like the quad TLT Y-Wing list that we see from Scum and Villainy, but I think there's something to be said there about slipping a couple of these into your list and see what they're doing. I think the big part of what makes this ship great, though, is that reinforce action, because like I was saying with B-Wings, a lot of the problem you have is ships getting focus fired, low pilot skill jousting ships getting focus fired and taken off the board before they can even possibly get their first chance to attack. The great thing about the reinforce action is if you're triggering it, so say you have the four section reinforced, the ships shooting at you are inside your firing arc, you're adding an evade result every time you get attacked. You don't have to spend that token, that reinforce token. So you could get shot at three times and you're basically mitigating three damage for free minimum in addition to whatever you roll on your dice.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the recursion is just amazing. It's better than one evade token, because you get it on each attack coming at you.
One really interesting point, I think, about this ship, especially for a jousting ship, is that this is one of the few Rebel ships that doesn't come with a native target lock action. So most of your modification is either going to come from these crew cards or it's going to come from focus tokens.
Yeah, Wookiees probably aren't using many computers. They're, I think, much more of a instinctually based species, or at least going off of our knowledge of just Chewie. I think, actually, the tactician crew on there might be pretty exciting. We see it comes with tactician because you have that 180 degree arc. That's going to be a lot easier to trigger the tactician card, giving a stress when you attack somebody in arc at range two.
Well, and I think that's going to be especially relevant now that we've seen nerfs to the TIE Defender X7 title and all the rules changes kind of putting stress control effects back into play here. Having another ship come out that utilizes those stress effects could be pretty cool.
Right. I mean, is it going to be better than a Y-Wing with R3A2 and Twin Laser Turret? I don't know, but you can take two of these at like 26 points, or you could take one at 26 and a Y-Wing at 26, and then you still have enough for like a 48-point Corrin.
Or a 48-point Miranda, which is one of the ships Paul Heaver flew when he won the Naboo System Open. So, I mean, that's an option now, too.
Gosh, that guy is just far and away the best X-Wing player. None of us even compare.
He is pretty unstoppable. Just when you think he's done, he comes right back.
Yeah, oh, didn't win Worlds last year. Got to win a System Open.
So the Imperial ship that's coming out here, the TIE Aggressor, is playing a little bit more on the turret game and I guess the secondary weapon game. This is a small base Imperial ship with two attack dice, two agility dice, four hull and one shield. It has the focus, the target lock, and the barrel roll action in its action bar. And it also has three standard upgrade slots, the turret upgrade, and two missile slots. And the only pilot we know right now is the generic pilot skill 2 Sinar Specialist, who comes in at a base of 17 points. And this ship's quite notable. It's the first Imperial ship that can take a turret upgrade.
Yeah, I think Imperial players all over are rejoicing. They've been waiting forever to finally get a turret slot. Scum got introduced with two turret platforms, the Hawk and the Y-Wing. And the Imperial players were then suddenly feeling very left out. And 5 waves later, they finally get a turret slot.
So like we were saying before, one of the first things you kind of test out when a new ship comes out is how many of the generics can we spam efficiently. And it looks like now the Imperials can run their own version of the 4 TLT list using Sinar Specialist and the Twin Laser Turret upgrade.
Well, and the thing is, you even have a few points to spare. The Sinar Specialist comes in at 17 points. So with a Twin Laser Turret upgrade, it's at but 23 points. So you have 2 points per ship. You could take the lightweight frame modification, which is TIE fighter only, which you can only equip if your agility value is 2 or less, which the TIE aggressor is agility 2. And it allows you to roll an extra defense dice if the amount of dice you're rolling is less than what the attacker is rolling.
So the kind of standard quad TLT list that we see, Rebels can do it, but the Scum and Villainy version's a more popular varietal, I think. You have your basic Pilot Skill 2 Syndicate Thug Y-Wing with Twin Laser Turret and the Unhinged Astromech, Salvaged Astromech upgrade, which allows all their 3-speed maneuvers to be green maneuvers. That's kind of the standard in spamming Twin Laser Turrets onto the field. Just at a basic level, I would still probably favor that over the Sinar Specialist with Twin Laser Turret, except for the variable of the lightweight frame. I think that's a pretty important distinction there. The Sinar Specialist with Twin Laser Turret and lightweight frame, like you said, comes in at 25 points. And against another Twin Laser Turret, that extra agility dice actually could be quite valuable.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you're not getting any passive modifications like the Scum has with their aggro mechs. And we don't know what the dial is like, whether or not having access to like the unhinged astromechs is going to be more beneficial, just opening up more maneuvers. Although we see the TIE aggressor has access to barrel roll. So that's already making it look like the most mobile, cheap turret platform.
Well, an important part of running a list that kind of depends on twin laser turrets is being able to control the range of the first engagement. Because with that TLT, you want to be deciding when you're going to start shooting so you can get an advantageous exchange. One thing that might actually be really important outside of the lightweight frame is the cost of the Pilot Skill 5 generic. We can see it there. We don't know what the cost is yet. Doesn't look like, from what we can tell, looking at the other named pilots that we can see, it doesn't seem to have an elite pilot talent, though we could be wrong on that front. But if that ship comes in at 18 points or maybe 19 points and at Pilot Skill 5, that could be pretty oppressive with a bunch of twin laser turrets on there.
Oh, there's no way that thing comes in at 18. I think for a 3-point pilot skill boost, it's probably going to be a 2-point jump.
Okay.
I mean, I could see 3 if they didn't want 4 of those with TLTs to be a thing. But if they cost it at 19, that means you can fit exactly 4 of those with twin laser turret. You don't get lightweight frame, but pilot skill 5 for twin laser turrets, that's a completely different list to answer meta-wise compared to the traditional Scum variant.
So there are 3 new upgrade cards that come in this expansion. 2 of them we actually have the full text for. We've got Unguided Rockets and Sync Turret. We're actually going to talk about those on the back half of the show just because they have a lot of application outside of this ship in particular. So we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But moving along, we've got the Scum ship or Scum slash Rebel ship, the Skurg H6 Bomber.
Yeah, this ship is sweet. In the same way that the Imperial players were excited to finally get a turret platform, I think Scum players are going to be pretty excited to finally get a dedicated heavy bomber ship. Rebels have the K-Wing, and the Imperials have the TIE Punisher and even the TIE Bomber, all capable of carrying multiple bombs. Now Scum gets the Skurg H6.
Yeah, so this ship, the generic is the only one we have the cost of, but that comes in at a pilot skill 1 with a basic cost of 24 squad points. This ship has 3 attack dice, 1 agility dice, 5 hull, and 5 shields. It can take the focus, target lock, and barrel roll actions natively, just like the TIE aggressor, and it's got quite a full upgrade bar. It's got a turret upgrade slot, a torpedo and a missile upgrade slot, a crew upgrade slot, and 2 bomb upgrade slots.
Pretty similar action bar to like the K-Wing or Punisher. It's nice that it has the turret. We've seen the power of K-Wings with twin laser turret, whether they be generics with just minimal upgrades or a big ace ship coming in all the way up to like 52 points that Kevin Lines flew with Miranda. There's a kind of a wide range of how you can kit these things out because they have so many upgrade slots. Now, it will be pretty dependent on kind of what those pilot skill abilities are at the high end, whether or not it's going to be worth it to really sink a ton of points or kind of go somewhere mid-30s with these things.
Well, I'm liking this ship, too, from the scum angle of being a jousting ship. That three attack dice, almost on its own, is enough with how tanky this ship is. And scum and villainies had a hard time finding a good ship for jousting. I think the Kiraz fighter was kind of intended to be the scum jousting ship, but that one proved not to use its points very effectively, even at the basic level of a cartel marauder, Kiraz coming in at 20 points. They've never had enough good ways to modify their dice. Whereas I think this ship could fill in that gap for the scum and villainy faction.
That's an interesting take on it. I hadn't really thought about that, because you can fit four of these in a list as well. And we know scum has pretty great one-point crews, so even just giving them like the one crew slot could be pretty great.
Yeah, and just you could pass out a bunch of those really good, even the unique one-point scum crews. Give one of these ships Zuckus, give another one Forlom, and get a lot of different modification at a pretty efficient point cost total.
Yeah, and I'm sure Cad Bane, who we see is in here, is probably also going to be 1 point. I think that's the only cost for Scum Crew.
There's a lot of new upgrade cards in this expansion, and we know very little about them. There's a new system upgrade. There's new missile upgrades. We've got Cad Bane finally in the game, presumably as a crew card.
We got a unique astromech and some sort of bomb generator, I'm guessing, card.
Yeah, something like that. The real big feature in this expansion is the fact that it comes mostly with scum and villainy pilots, but it does have one rebel pilot.
So the Ace Pile Skill 8 pilot, Captain Nim, has a rebel version and a scum version. So all the other pilots are scum only. I mean, it looks like Captain Nim has different pilot abilities between the rebel or scum. So that's kind of cool. We see some character crossover.
I believe in the Star Wars lore, he worked for both the Rebellion and just on his own at different points. So accordingly, this ship comes with the base cardboard and a Rebel dial for this ship just to support that one card.
Right, and we actually saw a lot of this when the Scum faction was first announced. Pilot crossover with both Boba Fett and Cath Scarlet.
But never in the same expansion. Lending itself to the versatility of the ship, too, we've got a unique title for this ship called Havoc, and it comes in at 0 points for the Skurg H6 only, but there's no faction specification, so you could take it on both the Scum and Villainy pilots as well as the Captain Nim Rebel pilot. And this card reads, your upgrade bar gains the system and salvaged astromech upgrade icons and loses the crew upgrade icon. You cannot equip non-unique salvaged astromech upgrade cards.
Right, so you have to take the named unique salvage upgrade mechs. But even just swapping a system for a crew is pretty great. There's a lot of flexibility in there. You can only do this on one of them, so you can't give a bunch fire control system. But, I mean, just taking one ace one with fire control system seems pretty great. Or perhaps sensor jammer to give it extra durability. Not bad.
Yeah, I think it'll depend a lot on what these unique pilots' pilot abilities are.
Well, we know Genius is pretty good for bombing. There's R5-P8, who's a good choice because you get that negative effect of people don't want to attack you because they're afraid they'll get the damage back in return.
Yeah, his ability reads, he comes in at 3 points. Once per round, after defending, you may roll one attack die. On a hit result, the attacker suffers one damage. On a crit result, you and the attacker each suffer one damage. This was pretty popular on some Dengar Manaru builds, but since those have kind of fallen out of favor due to recent FAQ changes, this astromech hasn't really found its place yet. But there could be, I could see a pretty good argument for it finding its place here on the Skurg.
Yeah, and of course, there's a new droid, so we'll see what that does. Hopefully pretty exciting as well.
But like you were saying, with the bomb slots on the ship, Genius at 0 points seems like a pretty good option. Genius reads, if you are equipped with a bomb that can be dropped before you reveal your maneuver, you may drop the bomb after you execute your maneuver instead. Famously, this ability basically ensures that you're going to be hit by your bomb as well, but that kind of plays into the thematic nature of Scum and Villainy, where they're kind of reckless. Just throw their ships out there, drop bombs, and take damage in order to achieve their ends.
Well, if you drop the bomb after you maneuver and then do a barrel roll, can you get out of it?
I think you'll still be pretty close, but actually I'll have to pull that out on the board. Here, I'm going to take a minute and I'm actually going to try that out. 1 second.
All right. Listeners, you won't notice this pause, but it's happening. This is brought to you by the powerful editing skills here at Radio TCX.
So I can confirm after a short experiment that if you drop a bomb token with
a rigorous experiment,
rigorous scientific test here on my desk, after you drop a bomb token, standard bomb token like a seismic or an ion with the one straight template and then perform a barrel roll going as far forward as you can, you are still at range one of that bomb. You heard it here on Radio TCX.
We probably should have just known this off the top of our heads, but...
Well, it doesn't come up that much that you have to actually think about that. The only other time that this would
like maybe I know the one off. Straight clears it, and you can't take Bombardier here to use the two straight for your dropping your bomb because you're losing your crew slot when you're gaining this Astra slot.
So if you're using the Genius and dropping that bomb after you move, you're still for sure guaranteeing that you're going to be hit by that maneuver bomb if it's just a standard detonates at range one. It does seem like there is a new bomb that comes out with this because we have some tokens that have the bomb shape on them. We just don't know what that card exactly is yet. It seems to say bomb generator or something. So maybe that will work a little bit better with Genius. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see on that front. Hey, Radio TCX listeners. I think it's time that we should announce the raffle prizes for the upcoming April Patreon raffle. In order to be eligible for this upcoming raffle, you need to become a Patreon supporter of Radio TCX at any level before the end of March.
This month's prizes are going to be a alt art Vader TIE Advance pilot, the illustrated kind of disco Vader.
Yeah, he's pointing up into the sky. It's actually pretty good art. I like it a lot.
I like it.
This came out in a tournament kit not too long ago. And the big prize for this month is the Imperial Raider Worlds 2015 promo. These are the double-sided Worlds promos that you had to get only at the Epic Worlds event in 2015. This is a fairly rare set of cards here, fore and aft sections. And if you guys want to be eligible for these prizes, again, become a patron of Radio TCX at any level before the end of March.
This is our way of saying thank you to those of us who are supporting the show. We really enjoy being able to do this for you every week.
And now, back to the cast.
All right, so we got two pretty interesting weapons. Both come in the TIE Aggressor kit, but we also see the Synced Turret in the Skurg H6 kit as well.
So the two interesting new secondary weapon cards are Unguided Rockets and the Synced Turret upgrade. Let's start with Unguided Rockets because this one's really fascinating to me. This is a 2-point double missile slot card. It has an attack value of 3 and a range of 1 to 3, and it reads attack focus, attack one ship. Your attack dice can be modified only by spending a focus token for its standard effect.
Now, the thing with a lot of missiles or torpedoes is the way to really know if they're really good is not by extra text, but actually an absence of certain text that you usually see. So missiles like a homing missile are a lot better because they say don't spend your target lock. They just require you to have one. Here, Unguided Rockets is kind of in the similar design space where I thought this card was not very good until Tim pointed out that you don't have to discard it. The text that says discard this card after you use it doesn't exist.
Yeah, so like a standard missile you would see would say attack target lock, meaning you have to have a target lock on the defender, and then it usually say discard this card and spend the target lock to fire. Then we have some instances where you don't actually have to spend the target lock, like homing missile, where you just have to have a target lock and then you're able to spend that target lock during the attack. This takes it to another level where you basically have these unguided rockets as long as you want. You don't have to discard this secondary weapon card after you use it, which is actually pretty cool what it does in game terms to a lot of ships that are a little bit underpowered offensively.
So you're getting a 3-dice attack. You have to have a focus to shoot it. And the only modification you can have is that one focus token you're using.
And the application for this card is limited to a very select number of ships that actually really need this kind of modification. You, of course, have the TIE Aggressor, the new ship in Wave 11, and this card comes in that expansion. But there are also a couple other ships that are a little underpowered offensively, like the TIE Bomber and the TIE Punisher. Both of them have a standard 2 attack dice, and this basically gives them a modified 3-dice attack, or a kind of specialized 3-dice attack.
Which is better than modified 2-dice. So at range 2 to 3, this is of course going to be better than rolling your primary 2-dice, and it's pretty cheap. So you can make bombers and punishers have pretty amazing attacks with proton torpedoes or homing missiles, but it's going to be expensive, and there's a lot of work you want to put into getting those target locks to be able to fire those. Here, minimal investment, 2 points, 2 missile slots. You get a upgraded attack just for not that much investment.
Well, and I think what I'm really impressed by this card is the kind of design space that they fit this in. So looking at pretty much any X-Wing ship, you have a pretty limited range of values that you can use when it comes to attack dice and agility dice. Typically, in X-Wing, a ship has two or three attack dice, the exceptions being the Hawk has one primary weapon die, and ships like the Ghost or the TIE Phantom or the Upsilon-class shuttle have four attack dice. But those are kind of exceptions on the far edges of the game. When it comes to defense die, it's also a pretty narrow window. Ships generally have 1 to 3 agility dice. Some ships have 0. We have yet to see a ship that has a native 4 agility dice. So there is a kind of disparity between the value of a ship with 2 attack dice and the value of a ship with 3 attack dice, especially looking at like contemporary X-Wing metagames. 2 attack dice, even heavily modified to the point where you're guaranteeing that you're getting 2 hits every time, have a really hard time putting damage out, particularly against ace ships like Sunderfell or Fenrau, these ships that can get a lot of token modification from focuses and evades. So basically, you need at least 3 attack dice, generally heavily modified, to push damage through on them. But when you're looking at costing ships, especially generic ships, the value change from having 2 attack dice on a ship to 3 attack dice on a ship is huge. So you might want the ship to be able to push damage out, yet you don't want it to be able to get 4 attack dice rolls at range 1 and still be, you know, relatively cheap point-wise. This card, Unguided Rockets, kind of fills in the gap between 2 attack dice and 3 attack dice rolls, where you're getting the high potential damage, but you're not going to be able to consistently modify them to generate 3 hits to the same degree that you could with a ship that can modify with Predator or a Target Lock.
Right, and I mean, you can't even use guidance chips or long-range scanners to get additional modifications with this. Very clear, okay, it's only the focus modification.
Well, and it even specifies beyond that that you can only use a focus token for its standard effect. So you can't trigger things like calculation to change one of your focus results into a critical result or anything else that would otherwise allow you to spend a focus token.
Yeah, weapons guidance. This is pretty exciting, though. I mean, so you can take a 16-point Scimitar Squadron TIE Bomber, give it unguided rockets and lightweight frame. Now you have a 6-hull ship with 2 to 3 agility and a somewhere between 2 to 3 attack dice value.
Well, and this card's starting to make me kind of reevaluate some of the named pilots on these less used ships. Particularly, I was looking at Tomax Bren, who just came out in the Imperial Veterans expansion. I guess not just came out. That was a while ago, but almost a year now. But one of the newer TIE Bomber pilots who, once per round, after you discard an elite pilot talent upgrade card, you can flip that card face up. This is a really cool ability. It was a little hard to find an elite pilot talent that he could really leverage, but I could see dropping unguided rockets on here and crack shot. You could have a ship that's pretty point efficient and can put out some decent damage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because crack shot, we love crack shot, is not a modification. It happens after the modify step. So you get your 3 attack dice attack, and then now you can add the crack shot value on top of that. I mean, I guess you could also pair it with effects like Juke, where you're modifying the opponent's defense dice to get even more power out of it. Although you would need an evade token and a focus token for that to work. I do really like, though, the 5 Scimitar Squadrons with that.
Yeah, like we were saying before, we always start out by trying to spam as many generics as we can as efficiently as possible. I think a couple things that are important to note on this card is, like any secondary weapon, there's a real good advantage you have at range 3. So when you use a secondary weapon card at range 3, the defender does not get to add the range 3 1 evade dice bonus, which is pretty important here and has become a really important part of this game. It's really one of the main reasons that munitions are viable in high agility metagames.
Rolling 3 attack dice with the unguided rockets against an opponent that has even 3 agility, if they have the similar modification, just a focus result, that's not a bad attack.
Yeah, you have a fairly reasonable chance of hitting them. So,
and especially if you're stacking a lot of these on a list.
I'm really excited to see how this card works out in some lists. I'm a little bummed out that they couldn't adapt the card to work on A-Wings, which generally need some offensive help.
Or like, but I think the TIE Advanced prototypes outside of the Inquisitor could have liked this.
I think the 2 missile slot thing makes a lot of sense in the design space they have to work. Right now, it seems like any boost you give using that missile slot to an A-Wing would also impact things like Z-95s, which could quickly get out of hand in terms of power creep in the game.
Right, and they already have a rocket for high agility ships, so I don't see them making another Proton Rocket-esque card.
The other new upgrade card that's coming out in the TIE Aggressor and the Skurg Bomber pack is the new four-point turret called the Synced Turret.
Right, and this should really read Blaster Turret version 2.
Yeah, I think at this point, especially after the FAQ changes that we got to R4 Agromech, Blaster Turret is pretty much obsolete in every regard.
It's pretty much just a bookmark.
The Sync Turret has an attack value of 3 and a range of 1 to 2, and it reads, attack, target lock, meaning you have to have a target lock on the person you're shooting. Attack one ship, even a ship outside your firing arc. If the defender is inside your primary firing arc, you may reroll a number of attack dice up to your primary weapon value.
Yeah, so for 4 points, range 1 to 2, that seems like a pretty good value. This is like all of the things that Blaster Turret had that were downsides now got switched to upsides.
So Blaster Turret was a 4-point turret upgrade that came in the Hawk 290 Rebel expansion.
Yeah, it had attack focus, spend a focus token for a 3-dice attack at range 1 to 2.
The problem with that card was that it was very easy to stop that card from triggering. Ships that had Blaster Turret were very susceptible to blocking and being action denied by stress effects. So it was not always worth the value to load out a Blaster Turret on your Y-Wing or your Hawk.
But now, target locks have an added advantage that they persist at the end of the turn. So first time you're in range, you can grab a target lock. And then if you're in arc, you don't even have to spend that target lock on the attack because you're going to reroll probably at least 2 attack dice, unless you're a Hawk rerolling 1, which sucks. They really hate the Hawks.
Yeah, but this, I think, is as close as we're going to get to a Hawk fix for a little while here. And I think it does a better job than Dorsal Turret did. Dorsal Turret was a cool turret upgrade at 3 points and attack one ship, even outside your firing arc, and you would add a 1 attack die bonus if you were attacking at range 1. But I think with just a basic attack value of 2, Dorsal Turret was not enough to bring new life into the Hawk 290.
I mean, it did a little bit, but yeah, this is a much better turret for kind of the mid-range cost turrets.
I like a lot of what they do with the design of this card. So having the attack target lock header there means you have to have a target lock on the defender you're shooting at. You don't have to spend it to use this turret, though, which is important. And you can get rerolls without having to spend that target lock, meaning you don't necessarily have to spend your action each round acquiring a target lock on the person you choose to shoot. You, of course, always have that option, say, if the target is outside your primary firing arc. But I think I like the versatility of, well, I can just keep him in my firing arc, use this turret, get my primary weapon rerolls. So if you're a Y-Wing, 2 attack dice rerolls, very good. Sometimes that's generally, that's all you need on an attack roll modification. And then you still have that target lock persisting, so you can shoot at them the next round, even if you have to move to a point where they're outside of your firing arc.
Well, and then the next round, you can have a focus, and so then you can have additional modification. So you can have that reroll and a focus going if you're able to keep them tracked in your arc.
So Carson, how do you feel about this card on, say, a Ghost or a generic VCX 100?
Well, I'm pretty anti-putting a lot of points into the turrets on the Ghost because you're getting a lot of value for the 4-dice attack that the Ghost already has. I would prefer to just go minimal on the turrets with the auto blaster because with that big base, you get pretty big range. Although the same thing could be said for the range of 1 to 2 with the large base. It's not terrible. I feel like at the point where you're investing in the turret and you're probably having to dock shuttle, a twin laser turret's probably just better. If you have 2 extra points on your Ghost, I could see maybe making that jump from auto blaster to synced. I never liked dorsal on the Ghost just because that's a pretty wimpy attack for compared to your primary weapon attack with the Ghost.
Yeah, I tried some Ghost builds with dorsal instead, and you really just have a problem hitting aces because you're not like auto blaster where you can guarantee the hit results go through. And it's not like Twin Laser Turret where you're generally a very accurate shot and you can keep them at range. The problem with Auto Blaster, too, was keeping range 1 on them. You could usually engage that for a turn or two, but if your dice kind of crapped out on you or you weren't able to maintain range 1, it would usually end up being a problem there for the Ghost. What I really like right now is we finally have a nice diverse range of turret options. When the turret upgrade slot first came out, you did not have a lot of good options. You had things like ion cannon turret when Y-Wings were out. You had the blaster turret when the Hawk came out. And neither of those were great choices, especially in the metagames at the time. Now we have this really sweet range of abilities at varying point costs. So at your lowest level, you've got a 2-point auto blaster turret. Then you move up to the 3-point dorsal turret. And then you've got the 4-point synced turret. Then the 5-point ion turret. And then finally, the 6-point twin laser turret. Really right. Wide range.
Blaster turret really just doesn't exist anymore, so
yeah, I don't really count that card anymore. Yeah, this card clearly outclasses it.
Yeah, I mean, Sync Turret has obvious synergies with both the Ghost and the attack shuttle having access to the system slot, aka fire control system slot, getting those target lock back so that you can consistently have that advantageous modification on your attack.
Yeah, I'm excited for the potential here to finally see some turret ships that can function without twin laser turret, depending on that kind of heavy turret expensive modification. It remains to be seen if this card is really going to have a strong place between Auto Blaster Turret and Twin Laser Turret, but it's nice to see the option there.
Well, I think, let's say, like, Polyp Gadali, who has that ability, or Torkelmux, those abilities that trigger within range 1 to 2, well, if they want to be in range 1 to 2, you might as well take the synced turret over the Twin Laser Turret, because then you don't have to worry about getting donutted. And so, yeah, like you were saying, I like that there's a bit more conversation as to which turrets are viable options to take.
Yeah, so these two new cards, Unguided Rockets and Sync Turret, do have a fair bit of application outside of the ships they're coming with. And we're really excited to see how these cards function on the battlefield. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you enjoyed the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/radiotcx and liking our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other X-Wing players would be interested in listening.
And if you want to support the show directly and be eligible for April's raffle, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Do you think the TIE Aggressor will be able to take the Aggressor title from the IG-2000 expansion?
I think we'll have an FAQ update in our future.